Broadcasting live from San Francisco, it's the Greg Papa Show on the Bay Area Sports Station, 95.7 The Game.
You know, to get the news of Ed's passing, I think, stunned our whole organization. He was a true personal friend of so many people here, but also a great friend of the Warriors. And, you know, in our history, we'll go down as one of the most important people because he is, you know, the reason, the political reason that we are going to be opening Chase Center in the summer of 2019. Without his invitation to return the Warriors to San Francisco and his dedication to doing all the things that had to happen to make it a reality, it wouldn't have happened.
It is the president of the Golden State Warriors, Rick Welts, talking about the loss, the profound loss. And the sports landscape, all the teams sent out their condolences, and the Warriors were one of the first to do it, and Rick spearheaded that, the loss of San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee, who passed away at age 65. We mentioned it yesterday at the end of the show. We do want to spend a little time here in this segment because we are going to bring Bob Myers in. And, you know, Ed Lee was instrumental in the Warriors' move, their proposed move, and now they're breaking ground from Oakland back to San Francisco. And when the Warriors had all the lawsuits in front of them, it was Ed Lee that was there when they were trying to get it to the Embarcadero. Now, you know, obviously they're going to Mission Bay, but he had the quote, "They can litigate until the cows come home, but we will defend until the Warriors come home," referring to their return to San Francisco. Let's so bring in the president of the basketball operations and general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Bob Myers, who joins us courtesy of Gelati Construction, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Bob, welcome back. Greg Pop and Vontae Hill here on 95.7 The Game. And I know you were around the mayor of San Francisco at a couple of championship parades, obviously. You were a prominent speaker, as was he, and maybe at a few functions with the groundbreaking at the Chase Center. Just give me your thoughts and your remembrances of the former San Francisco mayor, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate you asking. He, you know, he just seemed like a real decent guy. I mean, I know that people listening will probably think that's not much of a compliment, but I consider a decent guy hard to find these days. So I would say he's he had his own way about him, unique guy. I mean, it seems like the people that are go early are the ones that are hard to replace. You know, the ones that you think about and you think, well, there was not many people like him. He loved our team. He loved all the teams in the Bay Area. I was at a USF game one game last season, and somebody had given me the tickets, and I was sitting on the court, and he was sitting right next to me, and my daughter. I brought my 7-year-old, and so she was sitting there with the mayor. She didn't have a clue what was going on, but he was really nice, and so I picked up my daughter from school yesterday, and she brought it up because I think they talked about it in her school in San Francisco. And she said, "Is that the guy I sat next to?" And I said, "Yeah." And so you realize how the fragility of this whole thing, that all of it, right? We talk about fragile teams, and because we do our jobs, and you guys talk about sports, and I work in sports. Talk about fragile cultures, situations, but life is the same way. And so it's just hard to process when something like that happens. I mean, I still, you know, imagine seeing him coming into our game tomorrow night. He'd pop into our games and was a big supporter. But, you know, some people, sometimes it seems like politicians do it for their own benefit, right? They show up, take a few pictures, make sure everybody knows they were at the game, and they get out of there. But I really feel like with him it was something more, and that he did care about our guys, and he really did value us getting back to the city. And I don't know, it seemed like it meant a little more. So it's a sad, sad deal, and, you know, sometimes words don't. I don't know what my words can really do, but he just missed people like that. It's crazy. They're gone.
And it's not going to be the same as you guys move to the Chase Center without the mayor there, because he's so instrumental in it all happening. But you know, you always bring up the quality of the person, and he's a decent guy, and decency, and you spoke of that. I guess that's who you are. It's who your head coach is, and it's who your two best players are, Steph and KD. And I just want to Get a little bit of an update from you on what's going on with Steph. I know you're not going to reevaluate him until Tuesday, but you're reevaluating him every 2 seconds. But just, you know, I was at the arena on Monday and I didn't see him come out and shoot. He was back in the locker room. He didn't want to come out. But, you know, we hear he's out of the boot. He's doing, you know, something on the Ultra G, you know, the gravity treadmill. And just where is he at right now as far as his progress, Bob?
I think he's probably where he should be. But again, I like you and Bonte.
But not that much.
But I do. I like you more than most. I would tell you
we're decent
if I
guys.
Knew more. Like, literally, like if we were having a beer tonight and you sat next to me at the bar and you said, what's going on with Steph? I'm going to answer the question the same way I would now on the radio that I would then if that happened.
How many drinks in, Bob?
Yeah, what's
maybe
drinks
like,
in?
Well,
I got you
I'm
six
not,
beers.
My tolerance.
I got you six beers. The truth serum came out.
Like, literally, if I have one beer, I'm pathetic, by the way. I'm no Tobin. I can't put down like 12 microbrews. But anyways, so to me, here's where he is. And anybody that sprained their ankle would say the same thing. You really don't know. So we throw the two-week deal out there. And the reason why we throw the two-week deal out there is that was what we felt would be the appropriate amount of time to take another look at it. And that's what we're doing. I can't sit here. I know you asked me last week, does that mean he's going to play in 2 weeks? I saw his ankle on Monday, and it looks swollen. It looks bruised, which it should. And, you know, I've had the ankle thing. Sometimes you can play before the swelling goes down. But because of the situation we're in, I'm not sure this situation requires an expedited return. I mean, he'll play when he's ready to play, but I don't, you know, I listened to you guys, Pop, you were talking about Amari Cooper, and football's different. I'm not going to be critical of those guys because they play 16 games. So they will go out there and play hurt because they don't have as many games. And when you're in the playoff chase, you kind of have to give it a go. We're in a little bit different spot. We do value trying to compete and stay at the top of our conference. So we won't just sit here and rest the guy when a guy's healthy if he's able to play. And there's no reason to rest him, especially with this long home stretch. So when he's ready to go, but if it's gimpy and it's lacking the ability, you don't really know until you can cut on it and feel comfortable in that. And until you try to do that, it's too early to say. I mean, he hasn't tried that. So I suppose he would try it next week and we could go from there. But at this point, I hate to do this to you, but it's really what it is. It's reevaluate it. And at that time, I'm going to really screw with you guys, and I'll come on and say, we're going to reevaluate it in 3 more days. Oh, and not that he's back, but we're going to reevaluate it. You know, and you can blame Ritter he's the brainchild of
this
reevaluating thing.
It's all
isn't
his
it great?
Fault.
Doesn't it make your guys' job so much fun? You know?
I'm a corner Ritter.
I love Raymond. I love Raymond more than you. So I'm not gonna
I know, I would too. I like him more than me.
I've known that bald head for years. Bob Myers joining us on the Afternoon Delight here at 95.7 The Game. Saline Kalender standing by. We will get to the basketball hour coming up in moments. But Kevin Durant, I mean, we knew he was good, obviously. I think he's the best player in the world. But is he showing you a level of his game that maybe you didn't fully understand as far as the ball handling? I mean, he's becoming your point forward at 6 feet 13, and he's defending like Draymond Green. I mean, is he taking his game to another level, minus both Steph and Draymond, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because until being asked to, you oftentimes don't see. It's like a quarterback where you go, we got to get back in this game. Normally, we're not going to throw 50 times, but we need you to throw 50 passes. A really good quarterback will say, all right, I know this is not what I'm going to do every week, but I can do it. That's Kevin Durant a little bit. Normally it's not 20 pick and rolls and it's not him bringing it up and shooting as many shots and handling as much. But with Steph out, you really get to find out. And it's rare to find anybody in any walk of life that can say, oh, you need me to do a little bit more now? I can do that. Most of us, when asked to do more, are kind of like, I can't. It's not what I do. I normally, you don't ask me, I'm not good at that. But Kevin is kind of like, has the ability to hibernate for a little bit, not because he doesn't want to push forward, but because of Steph's greatness, it does require a slight deferential attitude. And so, and vice versa, so does Steph, so does everybody. I mean, Clay, Draymond, all these guys would probably, on a different team, get more of an opportunity to showcase themselves individually. But it's not how we're built. It's not how we're coached. We like how we're set up when healthy. But when we're not, which we're certainly not, you're going to see Kevin being asked to shoulder more of the load. And the great ones are capable. The great ones can move in and out of that place and say, okay, you need me to score 30? All right, I'll do that for you. Or tonight, I don't need to do that? Okay, I'm fine with that. So we all know who a good Kevin was, but and you guys know because you watch, but some people forget, and I hope nobody's surprised, because Kevin Durant just because he wasn't scoring 35 doesn't mean he's not capable. It means he plays with one of the best players in the NBA alongside him. So naturally, the ability to highlight your own game takes a small step back. But I go back to Steph Curry 2 years ago, however long ago, saying, sure, I want to play with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant saying, sure, I want to play with Steph Curry. That's the part that makes our team different. It's that they both are willing, not unwilling or not in a way where they're going to hold a grudge or it's something they're disgruntled by. A very, very willing participant in, yeah, I know I'm not going to score as many points. I just want to win. That is why I think we're a little unique. And then when one of them is out, we're blessed with the fact that another one isn't. And he can be that maybe older version of himself, not old, but the old version when it was him carrying more of a load.
Bob, I want to shed some light real quickly before we let you go on 37-year-old David West. We didn't know if the old man was going to come back this season after he won his first NBA championship. But he's come back and he's playing even better than last season. The pick and pop looks automatic, Bob. Looks like he could play another 2 years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, David is having a great year, to be honest. He's doing a great job, and he's just, you know, he's been so rock solid. We oftentimes take him for granted, and we shouldn't. I think we all know that, but the mid-range jumpers, he had that throwback dunk the other night. And even better than that, whether his shot's going in or not, he's a presence in the locker room. He's the guy that, and I think you guys know David, you've been in our locker room, and if you don't, you wouldn't be surprised what I'm going to say, which is David's the guy in the room where it doesn't require him to raise his voice, doesn't require him to get into any theatrics. He's the player that, when things are going in a direction he doesn't like, he'll just kind of cast a glance, and everybody will know, okay, we got to get back in line here. He has this unbelievable presence about him, and he's just one of these guys that just, there's people walking around that you just go, I got to be on a little bit better behavior. You may have a relative like that, a friend, but a serious individual. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a sense of humor or anything like that, but there's serious people that you say, I better not veer too far over the line or bring too much levity, because David's a pro and he's knows what it takes. He knows what it demands. And I'm sure you guys, maybe you see this more in football, or other, but he brings that seriousness where it's very evident when he's there and when he's not. And when he speaks, he probably carries more weight than anybody, to be honest, because he picks his spots. And so David's value, yeah, we're seeing it on the floor with his jump shot and with his passing and all these things. But beyond that, and even more importantly, it's who he is and what kind of respect he commands in the locker room.
Now, we know what you're talking about. We went to the facility back in October and said a long interview with David. He's quality. And everything you're saying, that's what I felt like when I was doing the Spurs games and Steve Kerr joined the team. And he would sit behind me on the bus, and and that was a veteran team, obviously, with, you know, David and Mario Elie and Avery Johnson. And Steve Kerr just carried himself in that same way that David West. So it's not surprising that you brought him into play under Steve. The boys are here, St. Lee and Kalena. Just want to have one last thought here, because Harrison Barnes is coming to town to play tomorrow with the Mavericks, and Damon's going to have him on tomorrow at 3:30 here. Harrison Barnes, the former Warrior, will join Damon here on 95.7 The Game tomorrow. And we're going into Plan Bs and Plan Cs with the Giants, since they didn't get Giancarlo Stanton. Now what do they do? Mm-hmm. I never asked you this. If you did not get Kevin Durant to come here on the 4th of July, Bob, what would you have done? Would you have brought Harrison Barnes back? What was Plan B and C after that? Did you have one?
Well, I was up in Lake Tahoe, so I probably would have just thrown my phone in the lake and gone for a swim and just said, you know, F it. I would have grabbed a six-pack of beer and just stared at the sun. No, I don't know. I mean, look, to be honest, Harrison was restricted. We still had Bogut under contract. I mean, Harrison's a good player, so I imagine we would have probably kept a very good team together in some capacity. I don't know. I look to improve it in other ways if we could have. We just had lost, being up 3-1, and you could argue why or how. We probably would have addressed, like, what do we need to do differently. But we knew we had to focus on the pursuit of Kevin, and if we didn't get that, I felt like we had time to pivot in other directions and see what came to pass and what was available, and still didn't know what the price of Harrison would have been, what he would have commanded. I know he ended up getting a max contract, so restricted free agency is funny, but I don't know. Thankfully, Kevin came aboard, but again, we'll see Harrison, and he's having a great run in Dallas, and he's a really good player and helped us win a championship, so it would have been fine to bring him back and see what we could do from there.
Right, we have caught you at a light moment talking about drinking beer and about Steph's ankle, and you throw the phone in the lake and say, after. where are you today? We hear some.
I don't know. I'm tired.
At the facility. Where are you today?
It's the holidays. I don't know what's going on. I'm at the facility.
Oh, you are. You hear a lot of guys behind you there.
Yeah, no, I know. There's stuff going on. I'm in my office still. That's where I'm stuck.
Get back to work.
All right, guys.
Thanks for having me on. Don't jump in the lake. You got to do it.
All right, I'm not jumping in the lake.
And we'll take you up on that bar night five drinks in. We'll get some information on Steph Curry.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Maybe next week when we get him on. Bob Myers, the president of the basketball operations. It is a Warrior Wednesday here, brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a 2017 premier Porsche dealer. It is time for the basketball 3/4 of an hour. I guess we're just going. We're not going to roll the intro. I'm so going to roll the intro.
Dead air.
It is the basketball hour.
Time to tip things off. A full hour dedicated to the Golden State Warriors.
Swag is on a billion.
With Gary St. Jean.
Yeah, I love getting double-teamed in here, Pop.
And Kalena Azubuki.
Bop, 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 bop.
Oh, jeez. It's the basketball hour.
There it is. We're a little off, kind of like the Raiders' offense in Kansas City. Good thing the Warriors don't have these problems when they miss their point guard and one of the best players in the league. They just keep on flowing. So St. Lee and Kalena are here. And first of all, that was interesting what Bob told us. I had not even asked him that before, St. Lee. I asked him, what would you have done if Kevin Durant didn't come to the Warriors? What was plan B and C after throwing his phone in Lake Tahoe? I guess they would have had to revisit Harrison Barnes. And with Barnes coming back tomorrow night, it's interesting. What would they have done had they not gotten Kevin Durant to come here?
Well, I can share. I sat in that chair for a longer period of time. There's my damn phone again. Silent Saint.
I got to
press this other button.
Kalani did that the other night on TV.
I thought I showed him how to do it. He didn't
know.
Did you hit silent on the ringer, St. Louis?
My phone actually is in the bottom of Lake Tahoe. Because as a former GM of the Warriors...
It was called a spree well.
I sat there for a lot of episodes, much more lively than Bob, starting with spree well. And then we were told we couldn't sign, Gilbert. We couldn't sign Larry Hughes. So that's when I went to the bottom of Lake Tahoe. I was about a mile down, frozen. And
you went to the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah, I was down there swimming.
We don't have to worry about that, Kalena. We got him. And, you know, it's just we knew he was good. But is there a level of his game, minus Steph, where he's doing everything? He's defending like Draymond. He's running the club up top like Steph and Draymond and Andre. Is Kevin Durant right now, and he's a four-time scoring champion and MVP of the league in the finals, is he right now playing the best basketball of his life?
Probably. He has been impressive, and we've talked about this on the show. He's handling the ball more, so he's got more opportunities, and he's going to be naturally aggressive. He can score any way you want him to. Three ball, mid-range game. I love his mid-post. That's probably been one of my favorite things to watch about his game because he's got so many moves from there. He finds ways to get amazing moves off close quarters to the basket, whether it's a double crossover. He gets by that first defender. He's already thinking about the second defender. When that second defender steps up, how am I going to get around him? Am I going to sidestep? Am I going to Euro step his face off and get to the basket? And he can do all that. But he's a great passer, too. And I really think the real reason KD came here is because deep down, he's innately unselfish. And this team, unselfishness is the culture here. Unselfishness is cool here. And he doesn't want to play with a bunch of egos. He doesn't want to have to worry about whose team it is. And this is the perfect place for that. And you got Klay Thompson, who's a great shooter. You got other great players to take the pressure off. And the amazing thing we've been talking about with him is defense. He's an amazing shot blocker. I don't think we realize that fully to the extent that he is a great shot blocker when he came here. We didn't realize that he could do that when he was playing with OKC as much. So he has been impressive, and he's going to keep needing to play at that level for the Warriors to keep getting wins here while Steph is out.
St. Lee, real quickly, Kalina touched on it, his help side defense. Blocking shots, did on the first possession of the game the other night against C.J. McCollum. I think we saw a glimpse of it in the Western Conference Finals when OKC took that 3-1 lead. But to this level, St. Lee, this is all defensive team type play here.
I look at a great player who's got immense pride and really respects the game. And I think he took a challenge from Ron Adams and from Steve Kerr. They said, you know, there's another level there. And they probably sat down and Ron said, you know, I can remember you at OKC, and when you wanted to, you were pretty special. Well, now he wants to, and he's doing it on a nightly basis. And Kalina touched on it. He can block three-point shots like he did the other night, take off, get a dunk. He can come from the weak side and get you there. He can come from behind on the fast break. And, oh, by the way, he can guard his own guy off the drive. You just, as a player and as a coach, you're not used to going against that kind of length and timing that he has. There's very, very few people, as gifted as he is offensively, there's very few people that can do what he does defensively. And let me tell you what, it's all being magnified, as Pop said. You know, is it his best? You know, I was talking to Kevin Calabro, who was with him up in Seattle, and he said, you know, he averaged 20 points a game then, but if you turned sideways, you couldn't see him. and now you look at him, and, you know, he's, as Kalina will tell you, Kalina, what is he, 20, 28?
He's probably, yeah, I think
28, about 20, to turn 29.
So yeah. He's right in the wheelhouse of the best ages of his career, and I just think it's really special to watch this. We've got Boston and Cleveland going crazy in the East. We've got Houston going crazy. We've got these injuries. Yet, as you guys talked about before, there's this culture. And these guys, you know, it's kind of like next man up. You know, get ready. You're going to step in. Here's the system and do your job.
The Basketball Hour presented by Porsche, Walnut Creek, a 2017 premier Porsche dealer, and Freedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Now, St. Lee, I know you love you some feet of Jordan Bell. We're going to talk about Jordan Bell next up here on the Basketball Hour. It's Kalina, St. Lee, Pop and Bonte, 95.7 The Game.
Back to the Greg Papa Show on 95.7 The Game.
Bell, cross-court pass, an errant one, stolen by Turner. Durant chasing. Turner backward flip goes up, and Bell with a block. He knocked it away from Leonard. Here comes Livingston to Durant. Left side, Caspi picks up the dribble. Back to KD. He'll pop it up and good. Jordan Bell with a rundown block from behind.
Wait for it now. You know this is Belle Biv DeVoe. Wordplay. Grant Liffman would love us. We're not going new edition. We're going the oldest edition possible. I don't think Kalina knows who Belle Biv DeVoe is. But we're talking about Belle Biv
DeVoe, Kalina?
Yeah, I know you. Belle, what about
you know how to do the dance? Can you do the dance?
Oh, my God. Well, no one can see me. What's the point?
What's the guy's name?
We have camera phones. Belle Biv DeVoe.
It's a group. There was a guy who coached at Tennessee. His name was Don DeVoe.
I remember him. And I remember Belle Biv DeVoe. But at any event. So we're at the arena on Monday. We didn't even know we were supposed to be there till like 3 in the afternoon. Luckily, St. Lee and Kalina and I all got there in time to go on TV. So, St. Lee, you were watching Jordan Bell.
Oh.
And not just the chase down there. And the great thing about that play, St. Lee, is he's the one who made the bad pass on the cross-court pass that Evan Turner swiped. And then Durant got him to drop it to Dame, and then he came in. But just what do you see? Because I know you were enthralled, and I like feet as well. Bonte gets all over me. What do you see from Jordan Bell's feet, St. Lee?
Well, the first thing is he's quick. I mean, they're quick feet. Well, why is that so important in today's NBA? Because the pick and roll out at the top of the key is the in vogue play there is. We're a point guard oriented league now. It's like the NFL with the quarterbacks, and people don't want to get double teaming pick and rolls because they're so afraid of the three ball. So when you switch, it means everybody else stays home and the two guys involved in the pick and roll have new men. So it means that Bell has to guard the other team's point guard. And we all know, and I'm not going to compare him to Draymond, but we know that Draymond's capable of doing that. And I, week by week, I'm watching him, and he just keeps getting better and better and better at it. We know he's going to block shots. Some things I'm looking for now. How about some traffic rebounds? I'm looking for more D boards, not just put back offensive boards, D boards. Now I want to see him be able to handle a little bit. Say he's in the drag series and he catches it up top. He's not going to shoot the three. Can he put it down and create for Klay Thompson in the corner? Can he hit a pick and pop mid-range 15 footer? So these are areas that I'm watching for over the next couple months. But I love, Colin and I have chatted about this. I love the big eyes and the big ears. He's learning from the vets and the coaches. You're seeing improvement. He's earning more minutes. The best comparison I can give you, I haven't seen him throw it off the backboard and try to dunk it like that game a month ago. Instead,
but you know who's coming in tomorrow night? The Anderson Carey.
But he did.
Rick Carlisle.
He
went, do it to him one more time.
Oh, that's true. God. That's true. That's that team.
Yeah, that's he.
Yeah, that's that good. Team.
He's not going to do
you
it.
You better watch
it's the
out.
Holiday season. But do it for the Grinch.
No, you
do it
better
for the
watch out.
Carey.
Hey, that little guy, Barea, he yeah. might put him down.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, come on.
I doubt it.
But I'm loving it. I tell you guys, I'm really excited about this young guy. And what a great piece of work by all of the people in the management of the Warriors, the basketball side. That was a great, great move.
It's great because he's already at peace with what his role is on this team. He's not a guy that's going to get a bunch of points and be super aggressive when he gets the ball on the block. He's going to come in the game, whether it's off the bench or starting. He's going to get rebounds. And you said it, Sane. I'd like to see him get some more defensive rebounds. He's going to run the floor. He's going to make some effort plays. I thought it was funny in the post-game press conference the other night when he was talking about how he chased Dame Lillard down from behind. Basically, the reason he did that was because he remembered Steve Kerr getting mad at him in a game before. I think he said it was against the Pelicans.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah. And he was pouting or whatever. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Steve Kerr's going to get mad at me. I got to get down there. And he sprinted down and timed it perfectly. His timing and his anticipation, it's ahead of his age.
Yeah.
And that's something we like. And we look for in young players. Are they thinking the game? Do they have that high basketball IQ? How good are their defensive principles? Do they have those down kind of already? And there's going to be some defensive mistakes, but I think they're getting less and less, and he's improving. You talked about his mid-range jumper. I think he's going to get to the point where he can consistently knock maybe a mid-range jumper down every now and then, 15 foot, something yep. like that. I think we saw him shoot yep. one not too long ago.
Detroit, right? Did he make it?
Against Detroit, Portland. He knocked one down. Yeah. And the form didn't look bad. It's not like he's going to have to change his jumper like Lonzo Ball or something like that. So I think he'll be fine there. But we love what he's doing so far.
It is the Basketball Hour, a part of a Warrior Wednesday here at 95.7 The Game with Pop and Vontae in the Afternoon Delight. It's brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a 2017 premier Porsche dealer. So you were talking about his quick feet, St. Lee, and when you're at the arena, you can see a lot more than when we watch it
oh,
on TV.
Boy.
And, you know, TV's better than other sports as far as showing you all 10 guys, but, like, how he transitions up and down the court. You know, Kalena, we were at the arena a month or so ago, and I was marveling about how fast JaVale McGee is, and you laughed at me because I said if you lined all the Warriors up at one end and raced them baseline to baseline, I may take JaVale. But JaVale's going to be a slow starter. So from baseline to the three-point line, he's going to be last.
Right.
But what I was noticing, and this is the difference between Jordan Bell, I think, and JaVale. JaVale has such long strides. I mean, maybe even longer than Kevin Durant. When he starts running, he gobbles up the whole, you know, from three-point line to midcourt. He's so long.
Yeah.
Where, certainly, we're talking about Bell's quick feet. Jordan Bell, he's tall, but he doesn't have long strides. when he runs, it's like he's a tap dancer.
Yeah, he's a short stepper.
And he's like, his feet are just, he's maybe because he's from Oregon and it's like a duck in the water. He's just, his feet are like, so if that, I think that allows him, would you not say, where JaVale is a little slower in short area quickness on the pick and roll, where where Jordan may be better because his feet are firing so fast and he's got those short, quick, you know, like step ball chain tap dancer steps.
Well, Pop, think about what you like to talk about in all athletes. Who are the quick twitch guys?
Yeah.
And he is one of those. He's a classic example. We always use the comparison of a rebounder. You go up, and then you go up a second time, and the other guys have come down once. And I think what you're talking about is right on. You know, it's that time of the year. I like to watch, you know, Shirley Temple. And you remember the guy Bojangles, the dancer?
Pop, Mr. Bojangles.
They're coming down those stairs, right? And those feet are just beautiful. They're moving smooth in rhythm. This kid, this is a blessing for this young guy, and it's going to pay big dividends for him. I'm with Kalena. We may be starting up a fan club for him too. But I just want him to stay humble with big eyes and big ears. And I think this is the impact you were talking to Bob. And Kalena and I were sitting outside, and we heard you talking about the impact that David West has in the locker room.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about. If you put Bell on, help me, Kalena, the Kings.
Sacramento.
Or,
went to Sacramento.
You know, if you put him on somebody that's really struggling.
Yeah.
Where is he? What's going on with him right now? Whereas we're seeing something where I'll bet you every darn day.
Yeah.
Between Draymond, Kevin, David, they got a message for him, let alone the coaches. So he's in just hoop heaven the way I look at it.
It's so true what you're saying, Papa, because when I look at bigs, I always look to see how's their reaction time.
Yes.
And Jordan Bell's reaction time is incredible. And that's something we were talking about with Damon Jones that I think could improve a little bit. His reaction time is a little slow. And it's understandable. For these bigs, 6'10 and up, that's a lot of body to move. And a lot of times they're just not as quick twitch as a guard or a smaller person. And it's definitely understandable. So for Jordan Bell to already have the kind of reaction time that he has, and you talked about it, is he's a quick stepper and he can get off the floor quicker than most other people can. And we've seen it numerous times this season when he's gone for shot fakes and he's down and up again before the other guy can get the shot up and he blocks a shot. So it's incredible, and he's really got a physical talent there, and he's using it well.
Pop, don't you think it's a big change, let's say, from the 80s or 90s? You know, you could make up for quickness with power. So I'm going to say Karl Malone. I'm going to say Otis Thorpe. I'm going to say
Mark
Oakley.
West. How about Mark West?
Yeah, you think of these big, powerful guys, not only at 5, but at 4 as well. And this is the change in our game now. And I think that Bell is like one of these new modern-day players. Yeah. This is when you're going, like Bob, I think last week was in New York City. He saw Villanova. They got a couple guys I'm in love with. I love Bridges. I love Brunson. And you're out there looking at these college guys, and you're saying, okay, are they going to fit into the NBA game now? Like some guys just don't have that kind of that quickness and vision for the game. So there's a big change, and you got to stay up with it.
They do those reaction time drills in the combine, too.
Yeah, like they do.
Pre-draft
that's right.
Workouts, the lights, too, sometimes. Yeah. They're using technology now. Jordan Bell probably smoked all of those drills.
I have no idea how he slipped to the second round, Khalid. Oh, I have no idea here. The Basketball Hour presented by Freedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Next week, we got 2 games with the Lakers. The Big Baller brand is coming to Oracle Arena. More coming up on the Basketball Hour here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Greg Papa Show on 95.7 The Game.
Bryant attacking baseline and he runs into a stone wall of Festus's healing and he's holding his left knee.
Yeah, I'm hoping he just bumped knees. But the way he's holding that thing and laying down, it doesn't look like it's something that's just a bump of the knee.
Right now, Kobe down and this is the entire season and was 4-for-4 since then, though, 0-for-6. As he has it, spinning in trouble. Oh, and he's limping. He's hurting. Kobe's hurting. And I don't know if he's going to be able to continue.
Well, he actually did make a pair of free throws with that gruesome injury. It was against the Warriors, April of 2013. He was posting up Harrison Barnes, who's coming back tomorrow with the Dallas Mavericks to play the Warriors. The reason we bring it up is the Warriors have these string of home games. They started on Monday against Portland, 9 of 10 at Oracle Arena. The one game where they're going to be on the road is this coming Monday, December the 18th. And it's going to be at Staples Center. And the L.A. Lakers that night are going to retire not one, but two numerals for Kobe Bryant, which is historic, but he's that kind of player. And he played half his career in 8 and then half his career in 24. Where do you put him? Five-time NBA champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. Curiously, only won one NBA Most Valuable Player award, but an 18-time All-Star, one of the greatest scorers and players and champions in the history of the NBA. And for me, since Michael Jordan, he's by far the closest thing since Michael Jordan. So we have St. Lee and Kalena here on the Basketball Hour, all part of a Warriors Wednesday. And you guys coached against him, and you played against him. So let me start with you, St. Lee, because you had to figure out a way to deal with him. All the players that you had to coach against, how good was Kobe Bryant?
Well, you know, I can't put him in Michael's category, but I have so much respect for him as an athlete and as a competitor. I don't know if I would have enjoyed being his teammate. I know coaching, he just had an edge, and he was divisive. But yet, I have the utmost respect for what he achieved. He was a guy that could get his own shot anytime he wanted to. He was one of those guys that could lock you up if he wanted to. He had a phenomenal impact on the game. And, you know, Kalena, think back all your years. And I think of the guys who really put the time in. And I don't know many people that worked at their game more diligently than he did. He was like, all the stories about guys coming in and 2 hours before practice, they'd walk in and he was wringing wet from being out there. He just had this immense pride, and he was a great player.
I agree with you. I'd put him, Michael Jordan to me is a teacher, he's a student, and that's kind of the dynamic there. So Jordan is always going to be above him in my mind, but I got a ton of respect for him too. I remember guarding him. I used to love guarding Kobe Bryant because I was just telling these guys, my mentality was, hey, if I hold this guy to 20 points, I'm a stopper. They're gonna start calling me a stopper because he expects
Kobe stopper.
Everybody expects him to get around 30 points. When he was in his heyday, in his prime, everybody expected him to get 30-some points on you. So if I was able to keep him around 20 points or something like that, that's a job well done. And he was so tough to guard because he had so many moves. And if somehow you figured out a way to stay in front of him, after that first move, he has counter moves. And his fadeaway jump shot, it's so tough to guard. And then another thing with him, he hits tough shots. Those are the most annoying guys to cover, the guys that can hit tough shots. But not only can he hit tough shots, he liked taking tough shots. A lot of times the shot you feel like you want to force him to take is a shot he wants to take. And he would knock that shot down so many times, and you just kind of tip your hat to him. That's all you can really do at times is just try to stay in front of him, contest his shot, and make it tough on him. He's going to knock down a bunch of shots anyway. So I got a ton of respect for him. He was always cool to me when I'd ask him questions. And I remember I was rehabbing my knee, and he came in. He had injured his hand or something. He had a bunch of injuries late in his career. But I asked him about how he felt about the Celtics. He talked about his hate for the Celtics and all these things. He was a cool dude to talk to as far as, I guess, players and other teams go. And you talked about being his teammate, saying, I don't have that experience. But you've read the stories and all that stuff. But he's definitely obviously matured now. He talked about when him and Shaquille O'Neal broke up, he was like, hey, I was just an idiot. The ego and all that stuff, wanted to be the man. I was just an idiot. We should have figured out a way to stay together. And obviously you mature as a person, and he's seemingly matured too. So, but as a player, he was one of the best.
Yeah, I wonder, I assume he'll be there, Shaquille O'Neal. And I think Shaq shows up on Monday. I mean, it's Kobe Bryant, and I assume he'll be there. I think all the Lakers greats will be there. Do you think they'll, I wonder what kind of embrace or interaction they'll have on Monday night when they retire Kobe's 8-24, and I assume Shaq will be there.
I think time heals.
Yeah, for sure.
I really think that they've, kind of gotten past some of those episodes that took place. And I think recently they've been okay. I heard them embracing and smiling and telling stories. So, you grow older and you cherish the old days and you won a lot. And it's the great people you were with. And when you think of the all-time Lakers, I mean, he's in that top five. And that top five for the Lakers, boy, that's as good as anybody's top five. You know, you guys all know I grew up with the Celtics and Bill Russell. But when you start talking about Baylor, West, Chamberlain, Kareem, Magic, and Kobe, that's pretty darn good, isn't it?
It is. Shaq was at Kobe's last game, his last ever game as a Laker. Shaq attended a Sac courtside. So
yeah.
I think they're cool. I think Shaq will be there Monday.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he wasn't there.
I also wonder if Steph, we didn't see him at all on Monday. I assume Steph will be hopefully well enough to fly down and be there. You were talking, Kalen, about Kobe's hand injury at the end of his career. And there was one point there where Kobe Bryant would take a football-type pain-killing injection to play NBA games.
Yeah.
And you're playing four a week. Who does that? That tells you how tough he is. But he reached out to Steph when Steph had the right-hand contusion. And he reached out to talk to him. So I wonder if Steph will show up to see this. And just all the Warrior great. I mean, got all these Hall of Famers on the Warriors and All-Stars. Kevin Durant will be there. There will be a point, I think, where Kevin Durant passes Kobe Bryant on the all-time scoring list just to watch the Warriors see this night. And I think it's interesting that the Lakers chose the Warriors to be the opponent because they're obviously going to sell it out. They sell out every game, and they get huge ratings anyway. But when the Warriors come in to do it the night the Warriors are there, I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I just think, I'll bet you, if I had to wager, I'll bet you Steph would ask if he could go.
Yeah.
I think it's just the respect. And, I'll touch on this. Pop, you remember Gary Vitti, the longtime trainer?
Yeah,
one of the best we've had over the last 30 years. And I knew him really well. I had friends on the Lakers staff. And the stories he told about Kobe, just... like you're talking about, Pop, that toughness and how he dealt with injuries. If he was scheduled for therapy at 9 and 4, he'd be there at 6 and 1. You know, he just he had a drive about him that very, very few guys that I've seen or heard about in the NBA. He was tenacious, relentless, whatever words we want to use. And, boy, when you competed against him, yeah, you better get it right. You better have your shoes tight, because you're going to get embarrassed if you're not ready.
And we talked about Kobe as he's gotten older. He's been more of a mentor. He's been more willing to share his wisdom with other guys, with younger guys. We've seen articles in the Players Tribune. So I think there's a lot of respect for Kobe in the league amongst young guys, older guys. I know KD's talked about his admiration for him. So I think everybody that can be there will be there. There's going to be guys trying to fly in to be there. But he's definitely well-respected. And again, he's grown and matured from the days where he was kind of a recluse and didn't really have that many friends. I think now he's a little more friendly and he's more talkative and more willing to share with guys. Remember he called Gordon Hayward after he got hurt. He reached out to him. He reached out to Steph. You hear a lot of guys talking about how Kobe reached out to them just to talk to him and encourage him. So he's more that person now. And I think guys appreciate that. And you'll see that when they play against the Warriors.
Now, Pop, as we close this hour, I got a favor to ask you.
Certainly, Sam.
Well, could we do a little of that rap stuff? I've been studying my words, I wanted to know if we could just get a couple lines.
Yeah, from the other night when we got to that character.
I got fired up about
you
that.
You know all the words.
Kalina,
so
come
here
on.
We go, Pop.
Show everybody.
Go. All right, Pop.
What am I, a trained seal? this was my son's idea.
No. We don't know what you talk about. It's a Saintly's idea.
Well, the song goes for 18 and a half minutes. How long do we have?
We got a couple seconds here. Give us
ready,
two bars.
Just hit a couple lines.
I said a hip, hop, the hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, the hop.
you don't dance, stop it to the bang, bang.
Dude,
really
on the beat, though.
There you go. There you
on
go.
The beat. That is
awesome. I did this before years ago.
I love it. We'll see you next week. David Priest up next, and he has a big time guest list.
M-A-S-T-E-L.
Daniel Jeremiah at 4. Mark Spears at 4:30.
I got to cut a TV.
Ruben Foster at 5.
I can see the Warriors play basketball.
Steve Kerr, 5:30. And the Pitchy Boy, 6 in studio. David Priest up next. That's it for us right here at 95.7 The Game.